Father, we thank you for this wonderful presence of your Spirit. Thank you so much for the comfort we receive in your presence. Thank you for the consolation. Thank you for the joy. Thank you for the refreshing. Thank you for the inspiration. Thank you for the encouragement. Just your presence brings to our heart. Father, thank you for the hunger you placed on everyone here. Thank you so much. You said that those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Thank you. Continue to fill us with your righteousness, with your presence, that we might be strengthened to continuously be on the post, be on our doorpost, be on the watch. Continue to labor in the field and the areas you've called us, especially in this hour. Thank you so much for the prayers of your children over America, over the destiny of the church. Continue to refresh us, O God, and may we be partakers of the rewards, the blessings that come out of obedience. So tonight again, we totally depend on your Spirit to inspire and teach us, O God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God for these past few weeks as the Lord has been kind of teaching us and training us on the area of how to overcome trials through the fruit of long-suffering, the ability to, the capacity that we have when we manifest this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit to help us endure the things we go through, the processes we go through. Today, as we continue in that area, because of the days we're living in and the times we're living in, today we want to look a little bit deeper into how to really be refreshed in the season of trial, and even how to overcome, how to transition from a dry season into a spring season, into a fruitful season. Amen. Some of these teachings, or what the Lord is sharing with us, they come out of personal experiences, times, you know, and through those experiences, the tears and the cry, God, how do I overcome this? How do I transition? How do I handle this? How do I not just have a knowledge of what your word says, but how do I really experience what I'm reading here in this situation I'm going through? So I want to read a scripture for us to start with, and it's also a prophetic word for us. It's a word for us in this moment. So I'll read from the book of James, James chapter 5. James started with chapter 1 and he ended with chapter 5. So in chapter 5, I'll read verse 7. It says, be patient, therefore. That patient is, have long suffering, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, the farmer, waits for the precious fruit of the earth, and had long patience, long suffering for it, until he receives the early and the latter rain. Until he receives the early and the latter rain. Today, I want to focus out of this one scripture, the latter rain, the early and the latter rain. Here, Jesus, you know, all through his ministry, always uses physical things to get us to understand spiritual things. And here in the book of James, James is also making reference to a farmer, to a farmer. So if we understand this principle with a farmer, then we can understand spiritually what he's saying about waiting for the intervention of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. It says a farmer, just like a farmer puts his seed in the ground, like we said last time, maybe it's tomatoes, maybe it's apple tree or anything, but he has an expectation for it. He says he has an expectation for fruit. So he says, as a farmer puts his seed in the ground and waits patiently with expectation for it. But then the Lord here, in the life of a farmer, there are pillars of expectation for breakthrough. God did not just leave the farmer without understanding the process and the timing of waiting. It says the farmer waits until he comes through the early and the latter rain. So there is some things the farmer can use to measure the time for him to begin to experience harvest time. And the last thing the farmer expects is the latter rain. The latter rain. It says he waits for the precious fruit of the earth until he experiences early and the latter rain. Amen. Precious fruit of the earth. So today I through an experience God was showing me through these scriptures, I want to bring our attention to what we can do in times of trial, how we can transition our seasons of trial or our seasons of waiting for it to not just be a season of depression, confusion, or angry frustration, to a season of waiting with joy, waiting with expectation. What will make that happen? To understand this principle, this farming process, we want to look at two specific seasons that this transition takes place. In general, there are four seasons. We have the spring, we have the summer, we have the fall, and then we have the winter season. So this season, if you multiply the 12 months of the year, they come out to be 4 months each. So first of all, God is saying to us, everything we go through is for a season. If we don't grow weary in well-doing, we will see the harvest of what we're waiting for. If we don't grow weary in well-doing, it's seasonal. It's seasonal. I look back to the past, and I remember, sometimes I look back, I looked at some of the amazing, insurmountable challenges I have faced, or things I thought, how could God bring me out of this? How could God do this? How could I do this? How could I overcome this thing? I look back to 20 years, 10 years, 15 years. I look back now, those things don't exist. Those things have come and passed. But before they come and pass, for example, now if I look forward, there are things you see, you say, oh my God, how can I deal with this? How can I overcome this? How can I see? How can I get? But I look back, I see similar things, even worse things that don't more exist, they passed. And I look back and I saw that it was all seasonal. But when I was going through them, I thought it would never end. It was going to be forever. But I look back now, I can't believe they passed. So the question is, God allows us to go through seasons. How do we act in the seasons determines the speed of that season, of that cycle of that season, also determines the fruit we get out of that season as we move in from glory to glory. So the Lord started showing me through the scripture about transitioning from the season, from one season to the other. But this, the most difficult season in the natural is the winter season for farming. And in farming, in the practical farming, you know, if you see the winter season, is usually the time when in some parts of the world it's cold. In some parts of the world it's just dry. But there's one thing that is peculiar about that season. There is no rain. There is no water. So what happens in the absence of water in the season is that everything begins to dry up. Everything begins to dry up. Everything begins to dry up. And they start drying up. And before you know it, you see the effects of the dryness on the trees. You see, of course, you still have, you see the sun comes out in the winter. You say, oh my God, why is it so sunny and it's so cold? So you see the other characteristics of the weather are there, but the rain is not there. So they dry up because there's no water. So all of a sudden, the trees are totally dry. They shed their leaves and they begin to lose the ability to produce anything. So it's dry. Everything is just dry. That's the experience trees have in the natural. Trees have that experience of fruit trees. There's nothing on the tree. It's all dry. So now, during this experience in the life of Israel in the book of Joel, you see again that there was a time because of the dryness, there was no wine, there was no this, there was not, the people were languishing. It affected the land and affected the people. It affected every area of their life. So that's the winter season. That's the dry season. But then in the natural, there is another season that comes after the winter. And what changes everything around that changes the winter and brings what we call the spring. Things start springing up. Life start coming. Things start changing. And all of a sudden, harvest starts coming. And right in the middle of the spring season, the first harvest comes, the grain harvest, and later the wheat harvest. And harvest just comes. Life starts coming back. Everything that's coming. The difference, the major difference in this season is the latter rain. The latter rain is what they call the spring rain. And in the book of Joel, God says, I will give you the rains again in their seasons, the early and the latter rain. But the focus tonight is the latter rain, because the latter rain is the spring rain. It's the rain that completely eliminates the effect and the destruction of winter, of dryness. The rain comes and life comes back. Refreshing comes. Everything changes. And green starts coming. Everything turns green again. And fruits start coming. Everything start coming. Joy start coming. Everything start coming out of their place of dryness. So if we look at, again, the another physical illustration of dryness. In the Bible, sometimes it's referred to going to the wilderness. And when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, God had a promise for them. God had a promise for them. He had a spring. He has a celebration for them. He has a time that they will enter into this inheritance, the promise that he has for them. But he told Moses they had to go through. They had to go through the wilderness. And the purpose of the wilderness, you know, it says, was to expose their hearts, was to cause things to come to the surface. Also was to cause them to learn to walk by faith, meaning to put their trust in God, not so much in their strength. But they had to go through the wilderness, through a process. The wilderness basically is the word again for dryness. A time, just a dry atmosphere, dry place, dry environment, no water. Amen. It's interesting that before Jesus started his ministry, after everything that 30 years of waiting, he just now got anointed after baptism. He said the Spirit of the Lord led him into the wilderness. And the Bible says when he came out of the wilderness, he came out in the power of the Spirit. And the fame went through. Wilderness. Dry time. So, James is saying here, the farmer waits for different seasons, but he has to wait until the latter and the former and the latter rain came. So today, as the Lord was showing me this, he was showing me how when we go through these seasons in our life, in a spiritual context, maybe it's a season in our life where we're going through some trials. We're going through some very challenging times. And we pray, it looks like God is like 20 million miles away. And it looks like nothing has come true. But we are going through this time, we're waiting. You know, it looks like everything is dry. It's like the breakthrough are far. It looks like the promises of God are never coming to be. And we're praying and we're waiting and we're praying, we're waiting. And all of a sudden, sometimes we might feel weary or we start getting tired, we start losing. You know, but we're still praying. So I was saying, God, how do I handle seasons like this? Especially when I know that your promise must come to pass. When I know that I'm believing you, I know that what you promise will happen. It's like a pregnant woman, you know that child will surely come. You feel the pregnancy, you know for sure you're going to give birth. There's no doubt about it. But what do I do with this season of just carrying this pregnancy? And what do I do with that time of transition? So what do we do to encourage us to wait? To live in a time of waiting, rather with joy instead of frustration, is to enter into a transitional mode. And the transitional mode is to transition from winter to spring, to change our winters into springtime, spiritually speaking. So here in the natural, the Lord said, use the natural phenomena with James, the early and the latter rain. In the book of Joel, he talked about this dry time, but he says, okay, I've given you victory now. So here is going to be the effect of the victory. I'm going to send the physical rain. I'm going to send the rain to you. I'm going to give you the early and the latter rain, and there's going to be a restoration of everything. You're going to have your fruit again. You're going to have your wine. You're going to have everything. He spoke more in the physical. Then he said in the book of Joel, afterwards, he referred to the spiritual side, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will pour out my spirit upon you. Now, in the physical, water has a powerful refreshing capacity. You know, when something is dry, you have a little garden, you know, you pour water on it to refresh, to cause it to bring for fruit. But you can't pour water on trees. You can't keep watering fruit trees. It takes rain, and it takes serious rain to do that. So when we are going through trials, we're going through difficult times, we're going through very times that God is building long-suffering us, and we're waiting on God. It's a very dry time, spiritually speaking. And very dry time can cause a lot of questioning. We might begin to question, why are we doing, why this, what's God is? It causes a lot of question. But as we get understanding, I give you one example of the question. Paul was going through a time in his life that these challenges he was going through, something was being worked out in his character. Something was being worked out in his life, long suffering. And Paul started crying out in Corinthians. He cried out three different times, God, take this away. Now, if God doesn't take it away, it means that God is allowing it for a purpose. You know, it's not something that will destroy you. It's something that will mold you, something that will shape you, something that will bring you to a glorious position with God. If it's something that will destroy you, God will take it away instantly. But it's something God is allowing, it means he has the capacity to bring you through it and then take you to the other side. So there is an answer that God gave to Paul that totally eventually changed all Paul's perception for trial. It totally changed Paul forever. The third time God answered Paul and said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So if you read later, Paul says, when Paul got what God was saying, Paul put it this way, he says, I now take pleasure in necessities, in trials, in tribulations. He named all these things that our flesh does not like. He says, I take pleasure in them because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. That the power of God will rest upon me. That is a little bit deep. That's a little bit, doesn't make sense when we're going through a difficult time. But here is what I was getting from this whole thing about a farmer. When God says, my grace is sufficient for you, because my grace is my strength. My strength will come to you in that time. And here, God is talking about a farmer. What changes a farmer's dry season to a fruitful season is the spring, the rain. Is the rain. So God is showing, he says, in the time of trial, we must find the water. We must look for water. We must look for water. We must find water. We must find a way to swim in the river. We must find a way to stay in the river, in the water, in the river. Because if dryness in the physical causes trees, God is saying dryness in the spirit can cause frustration and cause people to feel they are barren and they start losing hope. So we need water. So what is this water? What is this water that God is, saying? Is using the natural to compare to the spiritual to help us overcome the times of need. This water is called the grace of the Lord. The river of grace is the river of... See, the Bible says we are saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. Grace. The Bible says, in Hebrews, it says, we should come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. The only thing is sometimes we don't really have a full understanding of what this grace is. But this grace is the power of the Spirit of God, is the presence of God, the refreshing power of God that comes from the presence of God that empowers us and takes our situation way beyond the natural, that carries us like the river, that carries us in such power, in such strength that we are able to overcome a natural situation that is overwhelming us. It's almost causing us to sink. The grace of God is God's ability himself be manifested in that situation. The strength of God, the ability of God released upon us to overcome the situation, to walk through the situation until what God is doing is accomplished so we can come through. The grace of God is what, the power of God is what transformed the womb of the dead womb of Sarah to eventually give birth. The grace of God is what gives us the ability. Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. The grace of God is everything. Is everything we need. We are nothing without the grace of God. We can do nothing. We are born again by grace. We started by grace. But the thing is that we don't know how to enter into greater levels of God's grace. It's the grace of God that enables us to do the impossible. Is the grace of God that enables us to overcome the biggest accusation, the biggest trials, no matter what we're going through. The moment you enter into a greater level of grace, that thing loses its natural ability over you. We need grace in every time. Grace is like water. It's like rain coming down, not stop on winter season. And the outpouring of more grace is what eventually empowers the dry trees to start now, their roots start receiving, life start coming, everything start working, and then all of a sudden the transition takes place. Leaves start coming, everything start coming, fruits start coming, and everything, they are revived again and they move forward. Acts chapter 3, Peter talks about when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That word refreshing means revive, restore, bring to life again, rejuvenate, encourage, inspired to move forward in what God has called us to do. So there is nothing about Christian life that is easy, especially when you're born again. You are warring against the flesh, one against the spirit. You're dealing with spiritual things. You're dealing with natural needs. You're dealing with family. You're dealing with different things. There is no way to walk with God without grace. So the key for overcoming until the seasons of fruit come, even in the midst of any trial, is that we move in the river of God's grace. We walk in the strength of the Lord that comes through His grace. Now, there is also a strategy that God has given for spiritual maturity. And let me give this example before I give that strategy. This, you see, Paul went through what I just shared with you when he was crying. I mean, I cried. We all cry about things, you know. But Paul, after after those series of experiences, he came to a place of maturity where he now discovered this is all about God's grace. I go through these trials. I didn't understand how to tap into God's grace. So I was always crying, God, take care of me. God, do this. God, do this. God says, maybe all I need to do is just enter into God's grace so that God can work these things out. God can do what He's doing in me, and God can also take care of my enemy, take care of the situation. But I move in God's grace so that I don't lose my joy during trial. See, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not a work of the flesh. Our joy is not supposed to be lost when we're under trial. James says, rejoice when you're in trial. But we don't have the capacity to do it. But there's a maturity, eventually we start finding it. But before we get there, nobody can rejoice in trial. Paul didn't rejoice. I don't rejoice in trial. But James said there's a place to rejoice in trial, because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy cannot be hindered by incidents in the flesh. Nothing can hinder the works of the Spirit. So you say, how do we rejoice in trial? So after the days of Paul crying and crying, Paul finally says, okay, if this thing is about grace, then if I'm going to trial, I need to just ask for more grace. I need to enter into more grace. So when I enter into grace, then my spirit is refreshed, my spirit is strengthened, and I'll go through this season. Season means this trial will come to an end. It will surely, everything is a season. It has an end for it. So I will go through the season, and then the end of it, I'll get the fruit of it, but without letting that season cause me to be bitter or frustrated. So how did Paul discover, after Paul was praying and crying and found out this is all about God's grace, how did he start entering into grace when he's under trial? I didn't know when the Lord started showing me how to do this. I didn't know what it meant. But when I do it, it works. When I do it, it works. And I was like, but I don't always feel like doing it. But it's only when I prayed, I've sought the Lord. But then it will occur to me, this is what you need to do now. I do it, and I found out for some reason there's more patience calm, peace calm. You just move on. Something just changes your mind. You just move on. And this is the secret of entering into God's river when you're going through trials that Paul discovered, entering into the grace of God. This was discovered, Paul revealed this when he received a clear vision from the Lord. God has spoken. So this is not like, it's me, it's my flesh, I'm making a mistake. No, God has spoken. And the enemy started attacking in Philippi. He was in obedience to God, but now he was suffering the cost of obedience. Peter says, don't count it strange when you suffer for righteousness.
So for this fiery draught, so he cast out the devil. The thing caused a reaction in the city. You all know the story. The demon started causing problems, and now the people now started responding. They took Paul, beat him up, accused him, put him in jail, and locked him up. My brothers and sisters, he just obeyed God completely. Total obedience. And here is what he's suffering for. Now, if Paul has not discovered things about grace in the past, if he's not experienced that, what's the use trying to work this out in the flesh? I will be bitter, I'll be angry, I'll be frustrated, I will give up because my flesh don't have the capacity to handle injustice when I'm doing what is right. Our flesh don't have the capacity to suffer, especially for righteousness. So Paul had discovered his secret. He said, it's all about God's grace. So let me just give myself to his grace. Silas, let's just worship the Lord. We can't complain. It's not going to help us. That's flesh. We can do this. We can fight. We can do anything we do right now. We're going to get more frustrated. So let's just give yield to grace. How did he yield to grace? In the midst of blood on his body, chains in his hands, beating, they lifted their hands. And him and Silas started by faith praising God, worshiping God. Guess what? They entered right into the throne of grace. The river of grace poured over them. Strength came over them. Whatever it is, they were not the normal human being everybody knew. But also with that grace, that strength that God put in them, God immediately responded to their enemies. The place shook, the chains were breaking, everything started shifting. You know what? Paul went right from winter to spring. Immediately, he changed a situation that was winter, dangerous, dry, bad for him. He changed it immediately to spring. Good things, everything shifted because rain has come, grace has come, God has come, angels are walking, prison has started getting saved, people's chains have been broken, Paul is being vindicated, church is being born in Philippi from winter to spring just because of rain in the midst of trial. So God started showing me, when you are in trial, this is how you convert your trials to spring. And until you see fruit, until there's a breakthrough, just find yourself in the river of grace. One of the ways to enter into that river of grace is worship. Especially in trial, is to worship God. That's not human. That's why it's very spiritual. It's to praise God. That's not human. That's very spiritual. You tap into the throne of grace. That's one. Now, how from that moment, Paul went through unbelievable persecution, but he was not a normal person anymore. He has discovered his secret. But you know what? This secret is always discovered after a series of trials. But we can learn it ahead of time. But somehow, we learn it by experiencing trial. But here is the experience that can help us stay always in the river of grace. No matter what we go through, we will always be in the river of grace. And this secret also was found in the book of Psalms chapter 1. It was by David. David said, he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his word doth he meditate day and night. And it shall be like a tree planted by the river of waters that bringeth forth its fruit in a season, in a season, in a season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. What is David saying here? After so many years of all the trials that man went through, he discovered his secret. One, the life of worship, the life of praise. But then he discovers something. He's waiting on the word of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. I discovered, meditation is different from studying and reading. Meditation, after you studied and read, meditation is when God has given you a vision. God has given you a revelation. God has given you a promise. You experience it. You know this revelation is real. And all of a sudden, you start going to trials and things start happening. The trials are causing distraction. They are causing distresses. They are frustrating. I found out the same thing God told David is what he told Joshua. He said, Joshua, meditate on the promise, the things that Moses gave to you, the law, day and night. I found out, apart from worship, I would sit in a place and be quiet. And I would just zero in on those encounters with the Lord, where God revealed clearly to me, undeniable, the promise, the vision. I will sit on those. I will meditate on it. And all of a sudden, that experience takes over again. It revives you. It strengthens you. It puts you back again. And God speaks again and say, your strength comes back. You stay focused on that. You meditate on it. You chew on it. You refresh on it. And that thing comes alive again. And when you are looking at it, the Bible says, because of what the joy that was set before Jesus, he overcome the trial of the cross. Because when you see this vision, when you meditate on it, when you repeat it to yourself, when your spirit rises, and you now say, God, you said it is going to happen. You know, Jesus set his mind on the promise of God. That's exactly what Jesus was meditating on when he was on the cross. And the Bible says he brought more joy to him going to the cross because he knew the cross was a temporary season. But the glory that it will bring was where his mind was at. So he overcame the cross because he was meditating on the fruit that would come out of the cross. Joseph kept his focus on the promise of God and endured the trials he went through, that his mind was not bitter, he was not hard, he was not scorning. Because his mind was set on that glorious experience with God, that he knew this thing will happen someday. Everything he went through kept him from being bitter, being offended, and being angry at God. My brothers and sisters, we cannot live a Christian life without grace. That is the thing the world don't have. And that's the privilege we have. And God has given us grace, but it's just a measure. But anytime you're going through something, you want to rise above that thing, you enter the river of grace, and it will carry you above that situation. And then meditate on every promise that you know God has made it real to you. Meditate on it. And those promises will cause you to overcome until that season of that thing is gone. Every time you meditate, every time you worship, your spirit man comes stronger, and your flesh man is, you're able to, through your spirit man, you're able to subdue the pain and all the lies your flesh wants to bring against you, to depress you, to confuse you, and to make you give up. So my brothers and sisters, that's one of the fruit of the spirit: endurance, long suffering. But to sustain that, it takes to live in the river of grace. You are like a tree planted in the presence of the Lord. David said, you are like hidden in the secret place of the Most High, because you get constant supply of grace as you worship, as you meditate, and you're able to go through every trial people go through without you being offended, without you being angry, without you being accusatory, until God perfects what he's doing and then gives you the fruit and then promotes you, and you have the capacity to be trusted by heaven. Father, I thank you so much. What can we do without your grace? If we are saved by your grace, how can we live outside your grace? It's impossible. So Father, thank you for this river of life, this thing that flows from your throne. And the cup it comes through is through your mercy. We can have it anytime. But Father, especially in the times of trial, our mind don't go to worship. Our mind don't go to praise. Our mind doesn't go. Our flesh just wants to take over. So today I'm asking, as you are positioning us for these days, in marriages, with our children, whatever we go through, help us to tap into grace, into this river, so that it can overflow us and give us the endurance, the love we need to address every situation until breakthrough comes. Receive all the glory and honor for the wonderful grace you poured upon us tonight because of your mercy. In Jesus' name.